This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Alvin Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, coming forth, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners, cutting back all those things that clutter up your heart that you're not able to see what's in store for you. My friend, listen, my friend. This is the God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we come here bringing you another message from God's Word. We've been bringing you messages, series of studies on the sovereignty of God. We're still there this morning. We're going to be there for several more studies now. And we're looking at the sovereignty of God in man's salvation. Did you know apart from the sovereignty of God, no man would ever be saved? Yes, right. I read a little periodical where a man taking the sovereignty of God, the election of God for a skinning. He's talking about man is able to choose. No, my friend, you can't choose anything. Only you have a free will to choose sin. That's all you can choose. That man wake up in hell if the Lord never awakens him and shows him. He's a big high-rolling Baptist preacher. Listen, folks, God is sovereign. God is on the throne. You and I have whittled God's Word to pieces. You and I as a whole, as a nation, as a world, have whittled God's Word to pieces where our folks now have no reverence for God. They think he's a little finite being, a little old man upstairs or Mother Nature or those things. But listen, God is sovereign. He's on the throne. And we're bringing you those studies here now on man's salvation by the sovereign grace of God. I know, my friend, if it were not for the grace of God, that there'd be no one saved. I beseech you, my dear listener friend, this morning, every time you see one hardened sinner, just say within yourself, this is a picture where I would have been, what I must have been had it not been for the all-conquering, all-subduing love of God and the sovereignty of God. That's right. When you pass a prostitute or a harlot there on the street, you can say, oh, poor creature, I pity you. I have not a harsh word for you. Had not God preserved me, I'd be right where you are. When you see a drunkard reeling in the street in his own vomit there in the gutter, don't be too hasty to condemn him, my friend. Just call to mind this one fact that you have been a beast except the Lord had kept you. That's right. You would have been the same type of person. Also, when you hear the oath and shudder at it, folks cursing and blackguarding, I imagine not that you are superior in yourself. That's right. My friend, who is it? Who is it that has given you the good hope through grace that you shall never come into the place of torment? Who is it? The answer is the grace of God in Christ. That's right. From the first to the last. I, as God's child, I was a brand in the fire that he plucked from the burning, according to Zechariah 3:2, washed me in his blood, Revelation 1:5, and now he declares I shall be with him forever in heaven, Job 14:3. But at the same time, I think of some of my former companions who are now in hell, some of my classmates who went to school with me. I'm not there, and by the grace of God, I never shall be. Oh, why is this so? Why? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, praise his name. Grace, divine grace, God's sovereign grace has made it possible. But I must hasten to say and to proclaim that the reason is not to be found within me, but in him. You don't know nothing in me or you to keep us from being cast into hell. He hath made us to differ. God's grace has made us to differ. I have nothing but what I received, according to John 3:27. If God alone hath made us to differ, why may not he make others to differ? Listen, there's hope for you, my friend. Many times I've said after the Lord saved me, if he could save me, he could save anyone. I've heard that many, many times. I've heard the Old Trailblazer say it many times. I've made that statement myself. I've never despaired about anyone being saved. I see these here in our congregation. They've sat here for many years, seemingly like a bump on a stump. They have their heart has never been touched by the gospel, but yet they continue to come. But I praise the Lord that one day, one night, one day, the sharp edge of the gospel will go home. It'll pierce between the bone and the marrow of that soul. And there will come an awakening there. That's what I pray for day by day. Would you pray with me, my friend? We have many lost here, many in our mission places across this Southland, many of our Tate families across this nation, many who support the old Trailblazer work. They tell me they're not saved. They're religious without life. But would you just pray for me? We are asking the Lord now for a refreshing from His presence, and I believe He's going to do it. We have folks crying out, pray for me, I want to be saved. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm longing for. Oh, I would love to hear folks cry out in the congregation, Pastor, pray for me, I'm lost. Have you ever heard that? My friend, I have. It doesn't upset me if someone cries out, Lord, save me, I'm lost, I'm going to hell. I just praise the Lord. I just take a breath and praise the Lord. My friend, have you ever heard that in your congregation, or is it so cold and still that you can't even breathe a good breath because it's so stilted? Has your pastor ever stood up and say, are there any lost sinners in this congregation? I do that. Yes, sir. Oh, my friend, listen, the greatest thing in the world is to be a lost sinner before the Lord saves you. And I've said so many times, if He could save this poor old wretch, this poor old sinner, then He could save anyone. So I don't despair. If He brought me into the fold, why can't He bring you? Why can't He bring another? I tell you here, awakened sinner, here at Radio Missions, if He brought me, He can bring you. If He can save me, He can save you. I'm sure that if the Lord has brought me to His feet, forgiven me of all my sins, granted me a full, complete pardon, covered my self-righteous rags with the righteousness of the Son of God, there does not remain in the world a case that can equal mine. In sin, no, you can't match it. If He's brought me to receive His free grace, His sovereign love, His precious blood, and He hath made me to love Him, then there's nothing too hard. As the Scripture says there in Genesis 18, is there anything too hard with God? Isn't it marvelous to rest upon God's sovereign, divine, eternal grace? For I am what I am because of the grace of God, the Scripture said. It's what Paul said. Yes, God is sovereign in salvation. How marvelous it is just to rest upon God's grace. Why would you want to doubt and fear and tremble and quake and believe that you must hold on? Just hold on. I've had folks tell me, oh, Pastor, I want to believe, but I don't know if I can hold on or not. You don't have to hold on, my friend. We are kept by the power of God. The Lord keeps it. You think the Lord's going to save us and then let us go? All of this trashy doctrine of saved today and lost tomorrow, that's the most contemptible thing I ever heard of. No such a thing as being saved today and lost tomorrow. Oh, I know there's folks who make professions and then are awakened off of them, but they never were saved to start with. No. When this message is over, my friend, my listener friend, my believer friend, and you know these things, that God who has made thee to differ can make anybody differ, that there can be no case beyond His strength. If He's brought you in, He can bring all in. My Christian worker, my fellow pastor, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good. My dear sinner friend, if you're listening to me, if there's one spark of desire, I tell my folks here, if the Holy Spirit has done one little spark of work in your heart, don't throw it over your shoulder, my friend. Listen, if you're listening to me this morning and there's one spark of desire in your heart to be saved, you may not have admitted it to your wife, you may not have admitted it to your husband or your family, but would you cast yourself completely upon God's sovereign grace? Go out to the barn if you have to, or out to the woodshed or somewhere, fall on your face crying, Lord, save me before I perish. Listen, it is He who maketh thee to differ. It's not the church. It's not the pastor. It's not the Sunday school. It's none of those things. It's not any club that you belong to. It's Christ. Christ, our sovereign Lord. My friend, don't be content with doing as much as other people do. No, in fact, we must never be content with our doings at all. But let us work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Listen, my friend, this is God's word. We're speaking of God's sovereignty in the salvation of man, and we're going into our next study, God's elective grace. Now, I want you to listen, if you've ever listened to a study, I want you to listen to this one. If we're going to get started in God's elective grace, And we'll pick it up there in our next study. As we continue our study in God's sovereignty, I want us to look now on this subject, God's elective grace. I want to read from Romans 11, 5 through 6. Listen to God's word. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, I wish you'd get your Bible and read there. Turn there to Romans 11, 5, and read those verses again when the broadcast goes off. If there is one truth taught in the Word of God, it's salvation by grace and grace alone. Oh, this fact is made so clear in Titus 3, 5 through 7, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, being justified by His grace. When we see man as he is, and this is how he is, totally depraved, you know what that means? He has no value, he has nothing but just a depraved heart, it's wicked. He's dead in trespasses and sin, according to God's word, blinded by the god of this world, old Satan. He's unprofitable, and every faculty of his being is deteriorated by sin, hopelessly lost with no power within himself to believe or even seek God, or even to be willing to be saved. We see how hopeless man is. That's right. When we view man from this standpoint, which is not only divine truth, but the true state of man, whether you believe it or not, we see that the only hope for any sinner to ever be saved is the grace of God. This is not by accident, as God never does anything by accident, but it is according to His own purpose, according to His own plan, and according to His own sovereignty and His sovereign grace. Now, my friend, that's right. It's elective grace. It's sovereign grace. That's right. It's grace in the hands of a sovereign God. This is God's word we bring to you. Day after day, time after time, we're bringing you the old-fashioned gospel message on God's word. It's old-fashioned because we preach old-fashioned. That's why they call us that. We preach the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, which is God's word. We preach the doctrine of the foreknowledge of God. God knows what's going on, my friend. You can't fathom God, but He fathoms you. He knows your heart. Did you know He knows the intents of your heart? Before you can even think or ask, He knows what you stand in need of. But would you just confess those things to the Lord? Lord, I know that You're all-powerful, all-sovereign, but Lord, would You deal with my heart? Would You just show me my sin that I might cry out against it? That's a gracious prayer to pray, my friend. And then you could pray like old Peter did there when he walked on the water. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Oh, he was beginning to sink a little bit, wasn't he? He saw the high waves coming, and he said, Lord, save me. And I long to hear my folks here. I long to hear you crying out, Lord, save me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm lost. I've heard those things in the last few days. Would you folks who seemingly be so hard, your heart seems so hard, would you ask the Lord to melt your heart and cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me, else I perish? This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again, and we ask you to write us and let us hear from you. Our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.